PMS, pregnancy, menopause. Being a woman is a lot. Olly supports you and yours with expert solutions for every age and life stage. They just launched two new products exclusively at Walmart. Period Hero combats bloat, mood swings, and more during PMS. And Balance Perimeno to support hormonal balance, mood, and metabolism during perimenopause. Grab yours at Olly.com.
Olly!
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
My guest today is Griffin McElroy, here to talk about his review of The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD. My name is Justin McElroy, and you're listening to Polygon's Quality Control. Hi, Griffin. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, I could listen to that deep, sinewy baritone.
Resonance.
All day. Real quick, before you get healthy again, can you do some of my favorite books on tape, please?
It was the best of times.
I hate that book.
Okay, let me try again. The first habit of highly effective people.
There we go. Changed my life, that book.
Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. Griffin, I'm going to start with the question I think is on a lot of people's mind, and is, which one was that?
That was the Wii, the first Zelda game up on Wii. I had forgotten it was a Wii launch title, Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess.
Cross-platform, right?
What's that? It did come to GameCube a little bit later without the revolutionary waggle tech TM. But yeah, it was a Wii launch title. I forgot how dope the Wii launch games were. They were real good.
Speaking a little more broadly, what is it about Twilight Princess? What are some of the hallmarks of this that set it apart from some of the other Zelda games?
So this is a really tricky review to write. I think remakes in general are kind of tricky to review because how much time do you spend reviewing the remake? How much time do you spend reviewing the source material itself? And what was really interesting about playing Twilight Princess HD is it's been almost a decade since Twilight Princess came out, which is bonkers. It kind of occurred to me that when I was first playing that game as a Wii launch title back in 2006, I maybe didn't get the real experience out of it that I should have gotten. For instance, I think we were all kind of under this spell of I remember the first time I shot an arrow at a moblin or whatever out of the Wii remote. And I was like, this is the coolest shit ever. This rules. This is the coolest thing I've ever done in a video game before. And obviously the shine came off the motion control apple pretty quickly. But not only that, it was the after Majora's Mask, which was terrific. I love Majora's Mask, but you were Kid Link the whole time. And then you had Wind Waker, which had the cel-shaded aesthetic, which I loved, but, kind of put a lot of people off. I think people were, just psyched to have this mature, sort of darker Zelda game. And those two things combined, it was, the only thing I focused on. Whenever I told my friends about Twilight Princess, it was, oh, it's cool. It's dark and gritty and mature. And also you swing the Wiimote to swing your sword. It's great. But there's a lot of other stuff going on in Twilight Princess that I never really appreciated and I never really paid attention to. And I certainly didn't remember when I sat down to play this HD remake. And I'm glad I did, because without all of the hype and the expectations that came with Twilight Princess back when it launched with the Wii, it kind of makes the game itself stand out a little bit more. And that's not always a good thing. There's some real problems. There's some flaws in Twilight Princess that are pretty significant, but there's also a lot of really cool stuff that I just completely missed because I was so just spellbound by the fact that I could shoot arrows out of my Wiimote.
Mm-hmm. Now, how are those handled in this new version? How is the more motion-centric stuff?
It's, not at all. I played it with the gamepad. You can also play with the Pro Controller. The gamepad does the thing that the 3DS Zelda games do, which I think is, amazing, which is just the gyroscope aiming. So you can aim with the stick, but if you want to do, real quick, fine detail aiming, you can just, move the gamepad around to adjust your view a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's like it. That's about as far as it goes. If you played the GameCube version, it's probably going to feel a lot more similar, just because like you're not going to have to swing the Wiimote around every time you want to attack. And this was Twilight Princess's way of handling it, which is literally just like you move the Wiimote and it does the swing motion. It wasn't like Skyward Sword where it was, you know, it was aiming for one to one, like it would detect the direction of your swing and then Link would swing. No, it was not that. It was just like swing to attack. So yeah, it doesn't mess with any of that stuff, really at all. And also, I mean, there's more buttons on the gamepad. So, and you have the screen, which is cool for like, it shows your inventory the whole time. You don't have to like pause out to the menu, to manage your inventory. There's a button on the screen that lets you switch between Wolf Link and Human Link. So you don't have to like go through a couple of menu options to get there. It's pretty streamlined, but yeah, it does not shoehorn in much like motion control junk.
You mentioned in the review, specifically when you're talking about the unfortunate opening couple hours.
Jesus, it's bad.
It sounds really bad. You talk about how they've shaved a couple of chores off the list for this new version. When you're writing a review for, like this of a revamped title, how do you track things like that? Like, are you relying on documentation from the developer, or are you relying on memory? What are you doing?
Yeah, I do some research to like make sure, because they did do like a little bit of work to make some of the more monotonous parts of Twilight Princess just a little bit less monotonous. So like in the intro, you still have to do that fucking goat herding mini game, which is just the worst, twice. Like in the first hour, and it's the opposite of fun. But then there's like some stuff where in the original Twilight Princess, you had to like catch a fish for a cat, and then you had to do it literally again, like right there. And in this remake, like you only have to do it the one time. So like I was researching, like after I played through the opening sequence in the HD remake, I wanted to know, like, is this as bad as I remember it being? And so I looked at like the sequence that you had to do back then, and there's like a couple of things that it's trimmed off. It's not significant. You're still spending like 2 hours. I mean, the most heinous thing isn't like these chores that it makes you do in the village that you start out in. You can get through that sequence pretty quickly. It is, you have to like run through the woods to rescue this kid, and then you have to run through the woods again as the wolf once you get transformed, and then you have to run through the woods a third time in the first two. Like, there's so much. The game is it makes you do some pretty brutal backtracking from time to time. The intro like really sets the tone for how rough that stuff can get. It's like, it's inconceivable. It's absolutely the worst part of the game, and you have to get through it before you can play it.
David Pilardi wants to know if you have any tips for pushing through that first previous area.
Just go as fast as you can. Like, you're not going to miss anything. There's really nothing to miss. If you have to look up like game facts for the right sequence of stuff to do, like there's no even real reward for like looking around and spending some time doing stuff, because you have to do all the stuff in order to move on. Like, you have to get the rupees, you have to get the bassinet back and give it to the woman to get the fishing rod to move the fish to get the thing to go to the thing to do that. There's no like secret bonuses that you're going to get for looking around. And that's why it's so like heinous. It's just like, it drops you into this very linear, big like map, and is like, try and find the sequence that we've hidden in here and then do that three times over. Like, it sucks. Just look at game facts to remind yourself of the sequence you have to do. I started a second playthrough to try the game in hero mode, which rules. And I want to talk more about that later. But when you know what to do, like, you can get through it a bit quicker. But I mean, you still have to do like all that backtracking. Just get through it, because then the game does get better.
Stephen Shockley asked, is the remake different enough to warrant a new playthrough, or is that pretty much identical besides the updated graphics?
It's hard to say, man. Like, I think it's worth it because, like I said earlier, like I remember being like vaguely dissatisfied the first time I played Twilight Princess. Just because it wasn't this iconic classic that I was like really hoping it would be. And playing it again this time, like without that level of expectation on it, like I really appreciated like some of the stuff, like the art design in this game. I remember thinking like, well, this is just like drab, like next gen brown filter back in 2006, which was like about to become the norm for that console generation for the next, what, like 7 years or so. And I remember thinking back on it and being like, well, that game's just not good to look at, even compared to Skyward Sword, which I think holds up a lot better in comparison. Skyward Sword is like colorful and there's a lot of variety between the different areas. And I remember thinking like, oh, Twilight Princess, that's just like the like unsaturated, you know, sort of boring looking brown and gray game. But there's actually like a lot of really cool stuff going on. Like in the character designs, there's so much variety between the different characters. There's so many like memorable characters. I pointed out Uku, the weird bird person that you meet in the dungeons that can like warp you out. I don't know if you remember Uku or not, but it's like one of the most like jacked up character designs I've ever seen in a video game before. And like, it used to be a running joke, like, oh, this bird is really scary. But then you stop to think about it, like, yeah, that bird is really scary. And it's like a weird fixture in the game. And it kind of like characterizes the art style of this game. And that's not just that it's like, you know, kind of a bland palette, although certainly a lot of the areas do subscribe to that. Like a lot of the stuff is dark in a way that like games haven't really done before. Like a lot of the stuff is just bizarre. Like it's just really weird to look at. And like that was something that was totally lost on me the first time I played it. There's also some really, really good storytelling, some really great characters, some really clever dungeons and tools and stuff like that. Like the game has a lot of really good stuff going for it that I think I just and I just based on like looking at old reviews of the original Twilight Princess, that was like, it has cinema quality graphics and like you really feel like you have a sword in your hand. Like there's so much other cool, way, way cooler stuff happening in Twilight Princess, and a lot of bad stuff that got like huge free passes back when the game first came out.
Can you think of an example besides the opening that we've already talked about?
In terms of free passes that it got?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. It's not just the opening. Like, there's a sequence right before, like, one of the final dungeons that makes you, like, it makes you, like, backtrack and, like, go to all of these. You have to go, like, 6 different areas that you've already been to before looking for these statues that are marked on your maps. So it's not even, like, it's this challenge of hunting them down. You just have to like go to these 6 different areas across the world and use this item on these different statues to like fill out a word in a book in order. It's like it's a really, really annoying fetch quest. The game doesn't have a lot of good subquests to like break up those interstitial periods. Mm-hmm. And I think it suffers because of it. I think of like Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask was really great about it. Anytime Majora's Mask, that was a small world. You had Termina and the Clock Town Termina Field, and then you had like the 4 hub worlds around it. But every time you went to one of those hub worlds, like there were so many possibilities. Like there were the Skulltula houses you could go into. There was the whole subquest of upgrading the sword. There were the Goron races. Like there was so much stuff to do. In Twilight Princess, there's like a few little activities here and there, but mostly it's just like, hey, go find pieces of heart. And that's not like, I mean, obviously that's a tried and true carrot, but like, it's not a really great way to make you feel like I want to get out in that world and explore and do stuff. And without that, it really does make those transitional periods just feel like just a march, from point A to point B that just involves like going through all these places that you've been before. And I feel like the pacing of the game is really rough. Like you'll do one of those kind of annoying fetch quest parts for, sometimes like an hour and a half, 2 hours or so, like tracking stuff down. And then you'll finally get to a dungeon, and then the next dungeon will come. Like you only have to do like 10 minutes of like backtracking, and then you're in the next dungeon. Like sometimes they're really close together, sometimes they're far apart, and not all the transition periods are bad. Like some of it does introduce like new areas, and you know, there's fun stuff to do, but yeah, just the pacing of the game is kind of off. Skyward Sword definitely had that too. There was a lot of backtracking there. Skyward Sword suffered because like that game is about 15 to 20 hours longer than it should have been. Mm-hmm. Like they wanted to make this grand epic when really like there was a great tight 25 to 30 hour Zelda game in that 45 to 50 hour Zelda game.
What if that's the update of the HD update of Skyward Sword, just like we took out all the garbage.
Yeah, you don't have to like do that one sequence where the area floods and you have to. There was a part in that game where you had to go through a dungeon that you already beat just to get something from the final room. It was
really savage.
But yeah, Twilight Princess definitely has some flaws that definitely got overlooked in that initial wave of reviews because people were just psyched out of their minds for this game. But there's also like a lot of really, really great like character development stuff that other Zelda games had in it that like just kind of also went undiscussed. Like Mallow is like a little baby child who is also this like devious entrepreneur and has like an adult brain in his little baby body, and is like maybe one of the best characters in this game. And I completely forgot about this character. Like I forgot about or just straight up didn't notice like some of the really great things going on in this game. So for that reason, I would recommend going back and playing it. There's not a ton of new content. In fact, the only like new content thing is the Cave of Shadows, which is you unlock by using the Wolf Link amiibo. And it's not good. Like there's a thing called the Cave of Ordeals in Twilight Princess, which is like this 50 wave combat arena where you just like move through these 50 floors. And then every 10 floors or so, you get a little prize. Cave of Shadows does that, except you're stuck as Wolf Link the whole time. And combat as Wolf Link isn't especially satisfying. You mainly just hold down like the Z trigger and just press the attack button over and over again. And you can more or less get through most of the floors that way. Not only that, you have to go through it in three different phases. So like the first phase, you like have to go through these 8 floors and it's like, you win, now back out. And then you back out and it's like, all right, phase 2, beat those 8 floors all over again. And then beat these other 12 floors. And so you do that and you go through 20 floors. It's like, all right, you did it. Now for the final round, you have to go through those 20 floors all over again and then move through 20 more floors. Like, stop making me rehash shit. Like, I don't want to keep fighting things as Wolf Link. It's not very fun.
Last question about Twilight Princess. I recently realized that I hadn't ever played Wind Waker.
Oh, really?
Should I do that?
Well, that's not really about Twilight Princess, is it, buddy?
Man, I just want to see what you thought.
I really like the Wind Waker HD Wii U remake. That game looks good as hell.
Good as hell. Can you watch it with the language, please? It's a family show.
I think, like, in general, the Wind Waker HD remake, like, in terms of visuals, fares a lot better. And I think it's just because of the like, art style of that game. Like, for them to do the, like, visual work that they put into the HD remake of Wind Waker, I think that cel-shaded art style benefited a lot more from getting upscaled like that than this one did. Because they did replace a lot of textures in Twilight Princess, especially in, like, character models. Like, there's so much more detail. And it makes some of, like, the characters are so great in Twilight Princess, and it to see them sort of rendered in greater detail really does them a pretty great service of making them look as vibrant as they like are as characters. Yeah. But a lot of the like areas that are, like I said before, like that sort of unsaturated next gen brown filter thing. There's no amount of scaling that's going to make those look good, just because they're kind of just a little bit uninspired. Like you can give them those rage id tech mega textures, but it's still like, it's still going to look like a, you know, just a big brown field. Wind Waker HD it's really great. I can't believe I haven't played that before.
Yeah. I kind of didn't like it, 'cause he looked like kind of like a baby, and I like to pretend to be like big, tough men.
Yeah,
not
sure.
Babies.
Well, then you should play Twilight Princess. He's a big tough boy in this one.
All right. Well, so check it out. If you want to be a big tough boy, this is the game for you. Griffin, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you to you for listening at home. I've got a lot more stuff at polygon.com, so make sure you go check all of that out. And I'm going to go buy Wind Waker.
All right. Well, it sounds like I've done my job here in this review podcast for another game.
Yeah, absolutely. For Griffin McElroy, my name is Justin McElroy. Thank you for listening to Polygon's Quality Control.